Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again. You are back with me, and I am so excited, and I'm so energized and hyped up right now. I'm Denise Bowles. I'm the producer and host of this show, Black Motherhood Empowerment. We are working on a series. This is show number 5, if I am looking correctly. This is Birthing While Black, and tonight, this show is really special because I just came back from a birth. I had to leave my class today and go to the hospital and support a birth. And this woman gave birth in 5 hours to a baby that was 8 pounds, 13 ounces. So it can be done. We can do this. We have the capability to do this work. But I want to talk tonight really on a special side because I come from a heritage of Southern Blacks and Native Americans. And a lot of the culture of superstition, of spirituality, I grew up with my family from South Carolina. And a lot of it has been lost because elders have passed on, traditions are no longer kept, stories are no longer told. And when I find good friends in my community that really embrace spirit, I gravitate to them. And especially when they understand the work and the power of the woman and of birth. And they're also very open and transparent in their own spirituality as well as their wisdom. And this special guest tonight is of no exception. I follow her on Facebook. I follow her radio shows on Blog Talk Radio. She has done wondrous works. And I had the chance to meet her about 4 years ago on a virtual Red Tent event that she was one of the contributing webinar hosts. And Yay did such a great job that I immediately became her friend, and we started talking, and our friendship has grown, and she's one of the women that I look up to as a mentor. She is wonderful, and she is filled with spirit, and she is a wonderful friend who is devoted to the growth and development of our people. She is an African Latina. She's from Panama. She has great, great vibes. She's going to tell you all about herself. She has a wonderful website. She sells products. She teaches. She has her own Blog Talk Radio show. And tonight I asked her to come on and be my special guest because in the birth work field that we're in as women of color and culture, we don't embrace spirit as well as we can. And tonight, Yay is going to teach us a couple of things. We're going to talk about spirit tonight because we all carry within us this kernel, this nucleus of our ancestors. And it is so valuable what we have inside of us, in our DNA, in our spirit, in our thoughts, in our visions and dreams we have at night. So without any further ado, I'm so glad you're all here with me tonight. The call in number is 347-857-2381. Yay, Simi. I know you're here with me. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, thank you for the invitation. Thank you so much. It is my pleasure and my honor to be on a show of this magnitude of Birthing While Black, you know, and it's so important for us to acknowledge and support each other. So I am so grateful for your support, and I'm grateful for the work that you're doing, as well as your listeners for committing to taking the time out to educate ourselves and reconnect to the greatness of not only Africa, but the greatness of the world. Because each one of us, as we grow and expand, we become a star and we become a spirit and an energy that the ancestors and the universe gives responsibility to. And so for your listeners to be connected to that is it's an honor for me to be on this end, just sharing with you some of the things that have helped me over the years. So, again, thank you, Denise.
Oh, Yay, thank you. Yay, I want you to give our listeners a brief bio of you. What is it that you do? What is your training model? What modality of spirituality are you practicing? And tell them a little bit about your webpage and the services and products that you offer, please.
Oh, okay. Well, my passion, the thing that wakes me up every morning is my love of spirit, the awesomeness of the spirit of the universe, of God, you, Orisha, whatever we want to call it, the source. I love the concept that we have tools and abilities to tap into our greatness. We have tools and abilities to be abundant in our lives and to heal and to grow by just sitting still and recognizing that we are not alone and we don't have to do it alone. And when I say do it alone, it doesn't mean that necessarily we have just the spirit of the universe connecting to us, but every person that we meet is an extension of the Creator. And so whenever we need any help, all we have to do is just ask for it. God, help me. God, I need this. Universe, I need this. Please open the roads for X, Y, and Z. And spirit comes to us in the form of a baby, a child, a dog, a human being, an adult, a person of a different race, a person of a different orientation, a person of height, color. And so spirit is always available to us through the experiences that we have. And so I wake up every morning just giving thanks and being just honored to be able to through my breath, connect to everything that I need. So that's the thing that really motivates me. As you shared, I was born in Panama, and I came to this country when I was 13 years old. And my experience as a child was with spirit. It was, I was raised in the Church of God, which is a Christian faith, and but my spirit gravitated to what is called Begenite. Begenite is just like spirit worship that was brought from the Caribbean, from Barbados, and from Trinidad, and from Jamaica, and so the fusion of that in Panama was called Begenite, where the people dressed in white long dresses with colored sashes, and their head wraps were different colors for the different energies. And I lived, I went to church on a street where this was a big church, considering Panama that in 1940s. And then across the street was a Begenite church. So while I'm in here listening to what I considered very boring, because I never felt spirit there. And I'm not saying that it doesn't exist in the church. For me, it was not my source of connection. And so I would sneak and go over to the place and eat with the people. And, of course, I was always told that that was devil worship, so don't go over there. And then when my mom left at 13, left me when I was 10 years old to come to the state, she came first. And we went to live at a place where the Begenite church was, right across the fence. So spirit always took me to experience that. I loved it. I loved the smell of Florida water. I loved the scent. I loved the chanting, the humming. I loved the women doing the dances, all of that. And so from my inception, I was brought into the universe knowing and appreciating spirit. And I was clairvoyant as a child and used to do things, give numbers to people to play the lottery and things like that. So I always have that kind of connection. I play, my father would take me and bet on horses and things to that effect, and they would win. So at that time, I just thought it was okay. That it was, I thought everybody did. It was a game to me. And so in my travels and in my life's evolution, I ended up, when I was 23 years old, being initiated into the shrine of Obatala. And so for over 44 years, I've been a priestess and worshiper of Obatala, the tradition, of course, of the Yoruba people. And so today what I do is I train priests and priestesses, and I initiate and I do classes on how we can not only use spirit to evolve our lives, but how is it that we can be in touch with our own guardian spirit, and through our classes and through the tools that we share, you can actually feel them and possess them and hear them and talk to them. And and be one with them. We have always, when I say we, human beings have always had the ability to communicate with spirit. We are on the same level. We're not one is in heaven and one is on earth. No, we're there, we're all right here, just in different expressions. And so, as a human being, our expression is we are matter. So we have a physical form, but right next to us are thousands of spirits that are ready for us. So those are the things that I teach. One of the things that the ancestors gave me many years ago when I lived in Jamaica. Because the ancestors and the spirit of the universe have taken me all over the world to live and to learn and to grow, is that I learned and I was possessed and I received a system of helping people to heal from cross-generational family pathology and different negative toxic experiences such as abuse, molestation, abandonment, rape, things of that depth that sometimes before we are initiated into the priesthood, we suffer from it, as well as after initiation, sometimes that aspect of us is not healed, and so it expands the pain rather than bring it to a culmination and to a transformation and to heal. So that's one of the things that I'm very passionate about and one of the things that I promote and encourage and share and lecture all over the world, the importance of healing from some of the childhood traumas that we've experienced, but also how to overcome some of the trauma that we have caused on other people, and we are living that karmic experience by feeling guilty, ashamed, angry, volatile, as well as one of the things that I also teach is how and the importance of how to before the child is born, as well as if you're planning to become pregnant, how to connect to the potential of being a carrier of a spirit and how to be a potential infuser of a spirit. So that's the man and the woman. How to prepare your womb to receive the spirit of that God is assuming you responsible for being the portal or the vehicle. And after that, how is it that during the pregnancy you're able to be supported through the knowledge of who you're bringing forward with balancing your energies so that you will be happy, you will be balanced, you will be aware of the things that may be surrounding you and affecting you during your pregnancy, and to lessen the trauma of the birthing waters that the baby is held in. And then, of course, how to, and the importance of once the child gets here, how to have a connection to that child's spirit to find out why was this child sent? What's going to be their weaknesses? What's going to be their strengths? And so that the community will embrace it and hold themselves responsible for uplifting and training the child to be the vehicle that God has given them the responsibility to come back to. So those are the things that I offer. And I'm the mother of 3 children. I have 6 grandchildren. I adore my grandchildren are perfect. They are wonderful little beings that I just indulge and spoil. And my children say, "You're not the lady that raised us." I said, "That's right. These are my grands, and I can have them rotten and give them anything right. that they want, and then send them home because yes. I've raised my children, so I don't have to raise anybody else's children." They are little carbon copies of their parents, so it's all good.
Yes.
So those are the things that I do, and I have godchildren, and that's my thank you so much for allowing me to speak on who I am.
Yes, yes. So now, I want to get to the topic on hand tonight. I just finished supporting a birth, and when I spoke to you earlier last week and invited you to come and co-host the show with me tonight, we were talking about the importance of how doulas and midwives and women of color who are working in birth, around birth, and supporting birth. What can we do to fortify ourselves spiritually, Yaya? What do we need to embrace within ourselves or in our sanctuary so that we can be more spiritually empowered and guided with this work that we are called to do?
Okay, thank you. One of the things that I think that in this culture we lack is the value and appreciation for what a doula is. A doula is a priestess because you are being held accountable and responsible to be sometimes the first person, the first being that holds the baby. But also you are the voice that the mother is going to listen to from externally so that she can connect to the baby's spirit. And so you're a guide, so you're a priestess. You are a priestess of birthing. And so to be able to have that kind of charge and passion and devotion and commitment to that, I think you it's more appreciation and more understanding and more value needs to be given to it. I needed to say that. Now, that being said, when you are a doula or a priestess of birthing, what you are doing is telling that child that there is someone that is waiting for them. And you're assuring the mother that in her moments of pain or disconnect from the spirit because of the physical discomfort, y'all are the voice that's going to hold her through that process, through the breathing, through the challenges, through the difficulties. You are going to be that voice, that baby. And I personally believe that a doula is not chosen by the mother, but is chosen by the child. And so when the doula is there, the child is welcoming that person. And so the way to prepare for it is to make sure that you and that child connect before doing anything, pour a libation, call the spirit of the ancestors that's sending this child back and ask them to bless you, bless your hands, bless your spirit, bless your life, so that you will be able to be all the support that that child has. When I was born, the lady in the hospital, I was born in a hospital in Santo Tomas in Panama. And I never met the lady. My mother never told me anything about her. But when I got initiated, somehow my spirit, and I started giving thanks. And whenever I pray, I give thanks to the woman who helped my mother to give, you know, to deliver me. I never knew the lady. I don't even think I told my mother that I prayed for that lady. And so by now I'm sure she's passed because at my age, and she held me, she's very, very, very old. And I always pray and thank her because she could have dropped me. She could have been distracted. She could have been negative or something could have happened that she did not connect to me and knew exactly what I needed. So I always thank her. And I think that that's one of the things that we have to teach our children, teach our mothers, teach our husbands, our sons, the importance of the person who is in charge of holding your baby for the first time. That is major. That is a major blessing. And so when you are going, the first thing to do before you leave your home is pour libations, connect the spirit, do your meditation, envision the baby, thank the baby spirit for choosing you, and then just do God's work. But you are a priestess of birthing.
Wow. Okay, that is pretty powerful. You know, for me, I have a little ritual. Well, first of all, I want to back up a little bit. I do have an ancestor table that I maintain here in my home, as well as my altar of prayer and meditation, where I have several orishas, including Yamaya and Oshun, as well as Isis and some other deities. And, you know, I maintain both of them, and I do it with flowers and candies and sweets and, you know, fruit or whatever I'm guided to do at the time to dress that spot, I do that. And when I'm finished with the birth, a dear friend of mine who's also a priestess, she blessed me by giving me this healing oil, and I rub a little bit on my palms of my hands and just rub my hands across my body to heal and recuperate from that birth, because I do believe birthing is energy. It's a transfer of energy, and we as birth workers, as doulas and midwives, and other practitioners around this birth, we are around this field of energy, and it's important, like as you said, Yeye, that we respect this energy, that we honor and embrace and understand, because it is very, very powerful. So I truly do understand what you're saying about, you know, approaching this with the mindset of understanding as to what this really is. And I'm not sure if a lot of women have that same mindset, but that's why I wanted to talk to you about this on the show tonight, because I think it's really, really powerful to take this into consideration. What deities or saints or whom would you recommend for doulas or midwives or, you know, lactation or mommy's helpers, people like us? Yeah. Who would you recommend that we start connecting to, or should we be guided by our ancestors on whom we should connect to?
Wow, that's a lot. I think that, of course, Yemonja and Oshun own the womb and the women, the woman's reproductive organs and that, but Obatala forms the baby. And Obatala is the energy of molding the head and making sure that the gray matter is in the right place and that all fingers and toes are accounted for, and that's Obatala's job. So, and of course, if you're opening a portal, then you want to call Elegba, because Elegba is the road opener and to make it possible that it happens. So there's no one energy to go to, but all of that I've spoken to, I think, bear witness to that. And if the mother is having like a challenge, then you can always call on Shango for her to have the courage to be able and the will to be able to find the strength to just be the queen that she is and give birth, you know, and overcome the fear or the doubt in that moment that you may feel panicky. So it's all about who and what energy, but Yemanja and Oshun are the energies of birthing and of giving life and the waters of birthing. And as I said, Obatala is the one who forms the baby. So all of them are working in conjunction, because all of it is spirit. All of it is energy. And so we may call it Obatala, but it's just the spirit of perfection and balance and holy and grace in that moment. That's what Obatala is, the energy of grace to be able to have sex and produce another beautiful potential for healing the world. That is God's grace. And so, you know, you would take Obatala or Oshun or Yemanja, anything that is connected to that, and the label, of course, to open the roads. And if the mother is in the hospital and ends up having to go through C-section or something to that, then you want to invoke Ogun so that everything will go well, the anesthesia, all of that. So it's a variety of things. There's no one-to-go Orisha or energy. Of course, you want to connect to the ancestors because they just set the child back. So it's right. A combination of many things. So as you said, whatever connects you in that moment and you feeling, and that's why it's so important when you pray and you pour your libation or you do your anointing, whatever it is that you're doing, it's very important for the doula to connect to her spirit and let her intuition guide her. Because there's no book that, okay, on page 497, if the woman panics, you do X, Y, and Z. You are just connecting there, that moment to that spirit. And so to connect to the mother spirit and connect to the baby spirit, that's your thing. So whatever prepare you, if it's Isis, Yemanja, Heru, Aset, whoever you want to invoke, Ilashmi, if you want to call Jesus, anything that is going to center you and connect that your job and your responsibility has been predestined before you even came in the door to hold the mom. It started when the child's spirit said, I want that lady over there.
Oh, right. That is great, Yeye. Callers, I have the lines open. There's a few of you here in the queue. Does anyone have any questions or comments for Yeye? You can bring it forward now if you'd like. No questions or comments for Yaya? Okay.
Hello.
I'm going to keep it going.
Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I'm driving, so if it's a little noisy, that's the reason why. But this is Monique Liz Garner Weeks from
Hello.
Chattanooga. Hello.
All right.
Okay, I have a question. Because we are speaking of spirituality, and I'm in the process of, I guess, a shift in my faith. And how do you approach when you are looking at different dynamics, if you will, of spirituality? And when you speak spirituality, most people tend to go on the defense because they tend to confuse spirituality with religion.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
That's like the biggest thing. And because I'm more or less an infant in that realm, because I'm just finding certain things out, it's always a complex issue that ends up in debate more often than not.
Yes, you were going in and out.
Did you understand what she said? Yeah. I think I got the gist of it because, yes, the call did break up just a teeny bit, and I apologize for that. Yeah. I think what Monique is getting at is what a lot of women are thinking about, and I'm glad she brought up this question because I had a ton of callers, and at right after a certain point that Yeah was speaking, a lot of callers dropped off. And I think a lot of people are put off between the difference of spirituality and religion. And we have a lot of people who adhere very strictly to the Christian King James Bible version of religion. And then we have people who are spiritual based. Now, I will give a very brief summary of my response for Monique, and then Yaya, I want you to take it home for us, okay?
Yes, repeat the question when you get ready to hear it, because I did not hear it. It was very choppy.
Okay, so I grew up in a very Southern Baptist house that was filled with Pentecostal. They did a lot when it came to spiritual seeking and spirituality. Tons of customs and traditions on superstition. Tons of a lot of herbal work to heal. A lot of things that were done that I saw as a child and grew up with. Then my parents sent me off to Catholic school because they wanted me to get a good education. So I learned the Bible from cover to cover, okay, as well as learned the Catholic doctrines. Fine, no problem. As I grew up, like Yaya, it did not sit well with me. I ended up gravitating to the Yoruba faith of the Orishas. I also study numerology. I also practice meditation. And at the same time, I understand that there is a higher power, whether he be called God, Jesus, Christ, whatever, Yahweh, whatever you want to call him. But for me, I've moved away from being as religious. I am now a spiritual person. I do not embrace what's happening in the churches today because I think it's more man-contrived. I think it's more man-directed, and I have a very, very close and intimate relationship with my God and with my ancestors, and I find that relationship to be so intimate and so personal, it's more so than sex to me. So I practice a little bit of several things in order to get what I need and as well in order to give what is asked of me, because when much is given when much is asked for. So I don't like to say that I am religious because I'm not. I am a spiritual person. However, my upbringing was one of religion, of Bible, of scripture, of songs and everything else. But I've learned to take certain things and make them work for me. Like numerology worked very well for me.
numerology, and the Psalms work for me. I take my birth date of the 18th of the month, and I read the 18th Psalm. And that Psalm is one of the longest Psalms in the book of Psalms. It's also one of the most warrior and vigilant of the Psalms, and that's my personality. And I strongly suggest that everyone really gets to learn and know themselves spiritually, as far as numerology, the time of your birth, the lunar cycle, and those type of things, because you really get a much more intimate knowledge of yourself, and it's much more personal, and you could also, I think, relate to it very well. So I do that, and then at the same time, I also pray to my Orishas. I also have my ancestor table. So I'm doing several things. So now, to get back to the question that Monique said, Monique is talking about how do people transition from being religious to being spiritual, because there's that fine line that a lot of people are teetering on. And a lot of people of color are very absolute, as you know, Yeye, when it comes to religion doctrine as opposed to spiritual. There are many black people who are turned off by me and how I live my life spiritually. They would call me a witch. They would call me a bruja. They would call me whatever they want to call me, but they will not consider me a church folk because I don't do what the traditional black church person does. So, Yeye, how would you answer that?
Well, I think that spirit is spirit. And in every culture, there is a way or a system that is created to tap into or to connect the inhabitants of that culture into understanding that there is a higher power. And that is what religion is. Religion is a way of reconnecting you or tying you back to the customs and traditions of your people. And so if you are realigning you to your culture, then that is the thing that is going to be your source of inspiration. And just the fact that the way that Christianity is, when Christianity is practiced in a black church, is completely different than it is in a white church. And that is because the spirit, the essence, the energy, the culture of the rhythm of the spiritual soul of this particular group of people have a way of feeling and connecting and honoring spirit. So when you go to a black church, it's going to be singing and clapping and dancing and feeling the rhythm of life and the chant, and the songs turn into chants, and the minister becomes the teacher by humming and causing you to go into a state of trance with the words and the enunciation and that. If religion is to tie you back to and to realign you with who you are, then I think that one of the things that people don't feel connected to is when you are of one particular culture and cultural background, and when I say background, ethnicity or cultural race, when you are realigning to a culture that is not yours in your own rhythm and spiritual soul, then there's a disconnect. And so we have organized religion to make sure that you stick to whatever that culture's mores are. So it's just a way of making sure that you continue the traditions of the energy or the source that inspires you, and that over the centuries created your institutions, created the way that you look, created the value of who you are, the appreciation you are. So if your God is a reflection of who you are, then that religion is about who you are since the beginning of time. And so if you are connected, and this thing is to realign you to being a Jew, or realign you to be an African, or realigning you to be a person of India, when that religion, it's a system that was created so that everyone can have a connection to it and feel at home. Now, spirituality is what is felt by everyone outside and void of any particular system to reconnect you to it. So spirit is free. Spirit is in everything. It's in the plants, it's in the wind, it's in the water, it's in the sunshine. It is the thing that gives you the inspiration to know that there is something bigger than me, that when I go to sleep at night and I open my eyes in the morning, I give thanks for that. Because I couldn't pay anyone to make sure that I woke up. I couldn't.
You want to listen to that? May I have my room with me?
Pardon me?
Whoever's on the line, please put yourself on mute because we're hearing you talk. Thank you.
Yes, I couldn't pay someone to stand over me and make sure that when I woke up, I was breathing. So this is a natural flow that is created by something that's higher and bigger than me and you and this universe. The fact that the sun comes up on its own, the moon sets comes up and flows, and the rivers are flowing to the sea, and the sea controls the waves, and the waves control the climate and controls the flow of the moon cycle. All of that is God. All of that is spirit. All of that is energy. Now, if you want to take a specific way of honoring one of the manifestations of nature, then that's when religion comes in, where you say, we are going to call this particular thing X, Y, and Z, and whenever we touch water, we call it Oshun, or when we touch water, we call it Yemonja. But what we're saying, and I don't know the Bible because I did not study it in that realm, but I am sure that, excuse me, the presence of God is always omniscient and omnipotent, and is omnipresent, is in everything. And so whenever you want to honor spirit, you should be connected to the thing that makes you feel that you are showing up as the highest expression of you. And when you are connected to the fact that you are a child of God, you are an extension of God, that God gives you the ability to wake up by God's grace, that makes you God's child, because you're being protected, you're being nurtured, you're being provided for, just as you would your child. And so God, to me, and from what I know as truth to my truth, is both male and female. And so in water, she may be a female. And in fire, he may be a male expression. So I don't call God male or man or it. I mean, or him. I call it because it's an energy. And so with religion, it's taking whatever energy that you are working with and put it in an orthodox, organized way that's going to allow the people, the people who are depending on it or need inspiration and need to have faith, is a way of showing them how to connect with it. It may be through a book. It could be through a divination. It could be through an apateki or a story. It could be through the Psalms, which Psalms are actually prayers. And so it's a book of prayers. So if you have, or if it's connecting to a sound, as you do in some religions, that just the sound of connects all of us to the vibratory energy of the universe and brings it into our center. So whichever way holds you connected to spirit, that's fine. But religion is the thing that you use when you want to continue the tradition of your own culture, so that the offspring and the other descendants, thousands of years, will continue to see it as that. Does that make
wow.
sense?
Wow. Monique, are you there? I don't know her call.
I am. I was muted. Thank you very much for the explanation on that. And it does go in alignment with my thought process. But again, you know, having clarification on it from different sources certainly helps. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I want to also mention, too, listeners, that, you know, you are going to always be evolving in your spiritual life.
Correct.
It's not always going to be this fixated thing that you will always do. You're going to evolve. And if you are brave, and I say that word very seriously, you will branch out and explore other countries, other traditions, other religions, other norms. I had the privilege 3 years ago of going to India and staying there for almost a month. And I went to India as a black woman by myself with a group. So I did not go with any relatives or anyone. And I went on a spiritual journey at one of the lowest uncertain points of my life where I had to sell jewelry to get on the plane. And I did. And I made that step of faith. And it was one of the most powerful spiritual steps or journeys I've ever done in my life. And I was directed to do that because I read some of the books of Jesus where Jesus didn't always stay in Jerusalem or Nazareth or any other of the towns there where he lived. He actually went abroad. He went to Asia. He went to Africa, other continents or other parts of Africa, excuse me. He went to other places to explore and question what the world was about. So when I went to India at one of the lowest points and moments of my life, I went into the Ganges River and I baptized myself. And it was one of the most powerful moments of my life because I was guided to do these things. And even now when I talk to certain spiritual people and I tell them, they say to me, Denise, you are interacting with these deities because in previous lives and previous energies, you were with them, and that's how you still know them now. So I say all of that to say to all of you, be willing to explore if there's a book that you're gravitated to, if you like chanting, if you like Hindu music from your yoga class, if there's something from the Muslim faith that attracts you, whatever it is, embrace it and expound on it if you can, because that is your soul speaking to you. And I think that's really, really important that we not only listen to our clients and be so in tune with the community and raising black awareness. I do all those things, goddesses. I do them all. You guys know what I do. But at the end of the day, I am very much in touch with Denise Bowles, very much so, through prayer, through my altars, through meditation, through my psalms, through my writing. I have a dream journal I keep right by my bed. If I dream something that I can remember it, I'm writing it all of it down. And I take that as communication from my ancestors that they're trying to give me a message. And all of those evolved. I'm 51 years old. I didn't do all of these things when I was in my 20s or 30s or 40s. I didn't hear as well from spirit in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s. Some people do, but I didn't evolve that easily. It took a while for me to humble myself as well as surrender myself to the process. So now I'm going into this birth work, and I can honestly tell you I am guided through every single birth. I'm empathic. When my clients say to me, how did you know I needed that? I didn't say anything. How did you know I was about to do that? I didn't say anything. I just become one with them, and we go into this birth together, and off I go. It's just one of those things that happens. So I say all of that to say to you, listeners, be ready to receive a message. Be ready to hear. Be ready. We always want God to hear us when we pray for something, but it's just as important that we listen also. And in this birth work that we're doing, it's really important because we can get wonderful messages from our ancestors, wonderful messages from the spirits around us, as well as tips and tools on how to protect ourselves. So I want to open up the caller queue one more time. Does anyone else have any questions or comments for Yaye? Because I have a question for her. So does anyone have a question for her before I take a turn?
Greetings. This is Sam Kosova.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, thank you so much. This is a much needed and very important discussion because I operate from a spiritual base. Everything that I do and how I move through the world is from a spiritual point of view. I find that, you know, as we come into this world, you know, we are just naturally connected, but then as time goes on, we become inundated with all these, I would say, blockages, distractions from who we are. And when we say about, you know, gut intuition or something told me, I knew I should have did this, you know, that's all intuition. And that can be yourself, that can be your ancestors speaking to you. And, you know, that is really key for us as Black women, as, you know, African women in America, wherever we are. But, you know, spirituality is truly our base. That is really, I find, that will really keep us from going under. That's what keeps me from going under. Even as a child, I was exposed to underground, you know, I was exposed to Yoruba and Christianity, but it was a choice. It wasn't forced upon me. But I found that, you know, in these major religions that exist today, you know, women are having a lot of trouble because they are not being, they're, you know, the feminine energy is not being exposed, it's not being honored. So there's a lot of confusion and destruction and devastation because there's so much focus put on the masculine side and there's no balance in recognizing the feminine side. And that can be, you know, across, you know, no matter what ethnic group you're in or, but to me, you know, we're all, you know, part of the same planet. We all come from the same source. And I agree exactly with what the priestess said about, you know, it's not about just a masculine and feminine, but, you know, it's an it. You know, when you look at life, just look at life itself in every form of life that you look at, that you're exposed to, you know, that is all the creator. That is all masculine and feminine energy. It's very narrow-minded to refer to everything to life as coming from a man. There's no way that, you know, a man can create. A man hasn't created anything, nothing of the sort. You know, men don't give birth. We give birth. But, you know, I use different rituals to keep myself in alignment. Birth itself, I find that you have to cleanse yourself. You have to make sure that you, I would say, set your slate clean. You make sure when you're stepping out that door before you go to a birth, you make sure that you are present. You make sure you cleanse your energy and that you, you know, whatever you may do, whether it's say a prayer, but you make sure you develop a ritual of cleansing yourself, being present at the birth and knowing that this is a spiritual, this is a spiritual process, this is a spiritual moment, and that you are taking on this woman's energy. You make a major connection with that mother. I always feel like whenever they, you know, about to give birth or whenever the act of birth is about to take place, you know, I wake up, I feel it. You know, it can be any time of day, but I have very strong empathic connections with people, and especially when I'm involved in the birth or doing any kind of, especially with the birth. You know, birth is such a sacred, sacred moment, and that's something not to be taken lightly. And especially when we walk away from the birth, make sure you cleanse yourself, you know, because that's very intense energy that you share with the baby, the mother, and whoever's in that space. And I always make sure I bring my healing oil that I make myself because it sets the tone. It sets the tone for the mother. It helps her get into her zone and really stay focused and relaxed. It sets the tone. If I go into a hospital room, it keeps the nurses and the doctors, everybody in check because it sends out an energy. And I always tell doulas, when you go into any space, whether it's a hospital, a birthing center, or a home birth, you are the gatekeeper. You are the one who sets that tone when you come into that space. When you go there to be there with that mother, you are the one that sets the tone for how it, you know, for how it really is going to flow. You're like the conductor in the orchestra. And I think that's very important, you know, as birth workers for us to realize that, yes, we are priestesses. We are women who are great healers and protectors of the womb and of life and creation, and we have to learn to look at it from that point and not take what we do lightly, because, you know, it involves a lot of work on ourselves and the development of the craft itself. And, you know, I use numerology. It's a major divination and part of my work because it's important for us to know that, you know, we are old spirits. You know, another thing that we are doing is really new. You know, we come into knowing certain things, whether it's karmic debt, the path that we have to follow, the purpose we have to fulfill. But, you know, it's so important to really get in tune with ourselves and just start following, you know, the voice within, our intuition. Our intuition is the greatest gift that we got for us to really know what path that we should be on and how we should operate and move through life. You know, that to me is just so important. It's so important just to follow the voice within, because once we do that, you know, everything else is just simply what I call background noise.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Sankofa. That was really good. You know, I grew spiritually once I stopped putting so much, how can I say this, when I stopped putting so much value on what man thought and said to me and of me, and when I turned to God and his, or my, for me, my God, his words are, and his thoughts and his critique of me is what is the most valuable. So I, once I became a citizen of the universe, that's what I'm trying to say, once I became a citizen of the universe and I was no longer part of this earth on a daily vicious treadmill, for lack of a better word, I became free. As Yeye mentioned before, my spirit, everything, I'm just much more freer in the love of myself, the way I relate to other people, my self-confidence, as well as my own self-satisfaction, my satiety. I'm very satisfied. I'm a single woman, but I'm very successful at what I do. I'm very pleased with my accomplishments. I'm healthy. I have a lot to be thankful for. And when I look at some of my peers out here who are very unhappy because they're not a certain weight, they don't have a man, they don't have the ring, they don't have the job, they don't... And I'm sitting there looking at them, and they're like, Denise, you look so happy. You look so young. Why? And I... You know, just look at them and say, if I start explaining this to you, I don't know, you know, if you're really prepared, you know, for all of that, because it does take an evolution of work and time to do all of that. But I strongly do suggest to the listeners that if there is someone of a spiritual side that you gravitate to in your community, that you reach out to them. If you are happen to be as lucky as I was to attend an online red tent and meet someone like Yeye and gravitate to her and start up a friendship, consider yourself lucky and listen to that voice that Sankofa just said and do it, because it really does enhance your life. It really and truly does. We do stand out when we are of a different mindset with our spiritual life, with our practices that we do, even if you want to call it religion for your own comfort, I'll use that word. But when we are able to embrace that, we do such a better job. For me, religion took away a lot of my ancestors. Religion took away my language. Religion took away my culture. When my ancestors came here, religion was forced upon them that wasn't theirs. So I do not embrace religion like that, because to me it was another person's will and agenda that basically destroyed or tried to destroy my ancestors. So no, I don't embrace the traditional Black church religion that's here, because it's just not what resonates in my soul, and it's not what I'm directed to do. And as Sankofa said, which I wholeheartedly agree, Black women are smothered by the traditional Black church role models, because we are to be subservient. We are to follow. We are not to lead. And back in my culture and in my ancestry, my family is matriarchal. The women lead, and that's the way it always has been, and that's what I'm very comfortable with. So that's what I've learned to embrace over the years. It took time. So I want to get back to Yeye because she's sitting here, and this is I don't want to miss a minute with her. Yeye, what can women of color do to start on this journey? I know listening to your Block Talk Radio webinars for free, of course, is a great start. But I also know you have a YouTube page. You also have a Facebook following. And I know that every lunar cycle, whether it's a new moon or a full moon, whether it's based on a seasonal moon, you come out with these wonderful traditional actions that I absolutely love, like how to wash out your house with coconut water and some crushed up eggshells, egg whites, eggshell whites. And, I mean, just all the stuff that you do. Can you give us some little nuggets that we can take and use? Yeah, can you hear me? Uh-oh. Hello? Uh-oh, I think she's here. Yeah, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. I'm sorry. Did you hear what my question was?
Yes, and I was asking permission to say something before I answer the question.
Okay, sure.
Okay. One of the things that, as I was saying before, religion is to tie you back to whoever you are. And I think that when we, as the other doula was saying, that it does not place any value on feminine, on the female essence or the female energy. Remember that you're speaking two different languages. If you are trying to be in a religion that ties you back to the concept that male is dominant, then that is not your culture. And so you feel foreign to it.
Mm-hmm.
When you are ascribing that your creator connects to the soul and the core of who you are as an African, then the image that you have is that of a female is the head of the family or is the vehicle for which spirit travels. So the conflict that we have is not placing the fact that religion is to tie you back to your culture. So if you are a Jewish person, then your God is dominant and is male, and its role is to have that dominance. If you are an African, then the dominance is feminine. And so you would have to be given the understanding and the expectation and the responsibility and the honor and the place. Now, when you're dealing with how religion has evolved, where we put religion in a place where culturally, as you were saying, Denise, that it binds you and it cuts you off, well, then you're trying to make an African a Jew, and you're going to have a problem there because the culture is ascribing to a male-dominated because that the Jewish faith is the base of it, the power source of it is male. The African, it's female. So you're going to have that when you're trying to realign someone of one faith into something else. That being said, another thing that I wanted to say is that we are all evolving. If we looked at life as school, when you call a baby, the baby is coming out into the first kindergarten. It's coming to recognize, oh, so this is my mother's voice that I heard humming. Oh, so this is my dad that I heard his voice is deeper. Oh, so these are my brothers and sisters. And when they come to me, I recognize them. That's kindergarten. And, oh, so this is the accent that my parents speak, and that's why I have that accent. Oh, wow, so this is challenging, but now I'm learning how to walk. Oh, wow, now I can speak. I can tell them, no, I don't like that. And then I'm able to reconnect to other people. So this entire life is a journey. We are always in school. And so you may have to take the Buddhist school for 3 years or the Jehovah Witness school for 2 years. And then you may have to go to the Islamic school for 2 months or 2 years. And all of those things are experiences that you cannot deny.
You have to take it with you as you evolve. Because they're part of your schooling. It's part of your schooling. So as you are evolving, you are going to go into different expressions. But all of it is about embracing spirit. How is it that you can find joy, happiness, and recognize that fear is not real? If you can find that, then you know God. And so it's always about evolving you and moving from second grade to third grade. And the graduation is the day that you have your last breath.
Yes. Whoever's talking, we are hearing you. So if you can mute yourself, I would really appreciate it. Thank you. Go ahead. I apologize.
No problem. We're always evolving. So some of us may be in the first grade, and we're doing fine with that faith, and then all of a sudden we go to sixth grade, and we go to India, and we bathe in the Ganges River. And so then we move from that, and we come to the 11th grade, and we find out that we are using oils that were given to us on this plant, on this soil in America, by the Native Americans. And so we study the herbs that are indigenous of this culture, and we take it and we learn how to sage with it as a Native American. So we go to the Native American school, and then we move on. And all of it is about embracing and knowing. It's not about saying that this is bad and this is good. It's all about spirit in different ways of connecting people to what makes sense to them. So I needed to say that before I went on to the
Oh, well, thank you so much. Now also, too, don't forget my question. You know, like I said, lunar cycles, new moons, full moons, different seasonal moons, you always put up your YouTube segment that you have or your Blog Talk Radio segment. Or every day you have a post on the day of the week on what this day means, what it's about, what deity it's associated with, and what we should be thinking or doing or meditating on. What can doulas or birth workers do to take care of their home, their sanctuary? Or, you know, is there a spiritual bath you recommend? Is there a totem we should be carrying? What should we be doing?
Okay, great. Well, I think that as doulas, the first responsibility is to connect to the fact that the moon is the mother. She is the female energy that comes in and cools everything down after the hot sun. And so the feminine principle that governs the rhythm of the moon also governs our menstruation and governs the fact that once a woman gets pregnant, the menstruation is not there, and the flow of blood, all of that is the mystery of the female. And so the part of us that is warm, that is inside, that is dark, that is receptive, that is intuition, that is spirit-driven, has to do with the feminine principle of God. And so every moon, every new moon, is an opportunity for a woman to be birthed, to give birth again to herself. Because Big Mama is saying, I am finished with a 28-day cycle, and I'm coming back around to give birth to another baby. And so the baby is your expression or your experience or the things that you want. So you get an opportunity to get or to start over again. Mama is delicious. She says, oh, my goodness, the last time, the last moon, you had challenges with X, Y, and Z. So let me, now you're getting opportunity to have an experience in something else. So here are the things that you can do to help you in the birthing. Just like you are preparing when you're doing the doula with your oils and you're cleansing yourself and you're making sure that you and the mother, and we have to always say that the baby is the reason that you're there. And so that baby's spirit, the energy of that baby is like that. That's what brought you there, because if the woman wasn't expecting, you wouldn't be there. So the baby is saying, okay, so all of this is surrounding birthing. All of this is surrounding spirit work. And so Mama Moon is giving us an opportunity for us to start over again, cleanse our hands, clean ourselves off, wash off from all of the energy that perhaps we didn't use, wash off from the blood, the afterbirth, the trauma, the things that happen in the hospital that we have to shift the modality, all of that we have to shift so that we can start a new moon cycle cleansed and empowered. It's not removing, it's empowering, because it's something else. Maybe last month your challenge was finance. And this month may be your health. And the next month may be friendships. And the next month may be family relations. So each moon you have an opportunity to cleanse off and prepare so that whatever comes up, you end up at the abundance level, that you have you have so much that you can share. You have so much love that you can share. You have so much money that you can share. You have so much harmony with your family that you can share. You have so much understanding and awareness of your health that you can share with others. So that's what we do, is we are like the moon. As she grows, she gets bigger and fatter, and she gives us the opportunity to just be abundant and get things and receive energy and be renewed. And so the bath that I give and the things that I give every day is every day has a different vibration and an energy and a color. And it's tied into the energy of a color. Yellow has a particular vibration. Blue has a particular vibration. And if on the days, if all of us synchronize with that, we can just raise our divine consciousness and embrace the thing that we're looking for in life. As a group, that's like when you pray, 5-6 people pray, that stuff is going to get to the universe and give us what it is that we're asking for. So if all of us are thinking, today is Monday, the day of honoring women, the day of honoring the moon, the day of honoring birthing, the day of renewal is the beginning of the week, if you want to look at it like that, then that's why I give those baths for Mondays. That is about connecting to Yemonja, the principle of nurturing and mothering, of being a parent, being a supporter of the family, the organizer within the family, the home, the household, the cooking. All of that is Monday's day, and that's Yemonja because it's lunar. That's why it's called lunar. It comes from the Latin word from lunar, which is the moon day. And so in that, then you have the opportunity to rinse yourself, empower yourself, open up yourself. So on the new moon, I recommend and suggest that figure out what is it that you want Mama Moon to give you more of and connect to that. If it's money, then you do a money ritual. If it's your health, then you connect to doing a fast or cleansing or detoxing. If it's something with friendship, then you do something that has to do with sweetness and harmony and self-acceptance and forgiveness, and that's Oshun. And so you go through all of those things, and if whatever it is that's troubling you and you want more of, that's the time for you to set your intentions, because your word is your bond. Your word is the expression that ties you into the vibration of what it is that you're saying. So your word is a prayer to the universe and saying, today or this month, I affirm that all of my financial responsibilities will be met. So you said the word, but let's make sure that your aura and your vibration is so in harmony with it that when somebody pisses you off, you don't forget that your affirmation was success. Not somebody gets me angry and I forgot. No, you stay in that. You stay with that prayer that you put to the universe. So you rinse off and you bathe. And so that's why I'm so generous in it, because everything that I put out there, I do it myself. This is not something that I sit up and say, let me create something. No. If I'm in a cycle that I need harmony with my health, then that's what I do. If I need harmony with family, that's what I do. If I need harmony with finances, that's what I do. If I'm stepping out into a new branch of my business, that's what I do. I do rituals to enlighten. So it depends on what it is that you want. So know that energy exists in everything. There are flowers, the colors of the flowers, the scents of the flowers, the oils of the flowers, the the aspects of life that we take for granted, the bees, the honey that is given to us by the fact that there's one provider for all of the honey, and she is the queen. So when you want that entry, then you add that to your water when you want to be the person who, when you walk into the room, everyone knows that you are the queen. So it's different. There are different levels, and you use these things to then shift the energy from just being, oh, well, I know the way my luck is. I probably won't get it. That's coming on a vibration that is not real. That is not real because there is no lack in the universe. There's no lack. So everything that you want is there for you to pick. You just have to know which tree and use a bench or something to get up on it, and rather than try to climb. And so that's what that is. It's just to assist us in getting the fruit that are necessary to feed the aspect of our soul and our spirit that needs it so that we can have an abundant life and that we can be happy and that we will want to share and make life this beautiful thing that we come back on earth asking for someone to love us, someone to embrace us, someone to make us feel important and loved and that someone hears us. So that's the thing that everybody wants. So you're always working towards feeling joy, feeling connection to spirit, feeling like, oh, my God, this is so nice. I want more. I want more. And that's what ritual is about repeating the vibration of the universe and bringing it home to your soul so that you and the universe connect as one. So when you step out after a bath in white flowers, you are peace. You represent peace. I just happen to call it Obatala. But I could call it Buddha, and I can call it Jesus. Anything that walked around and portrayed peace and humanity and love. So when you have on that white bath that you've taken, you are no longer a person that says, well, I guess I'm going to have to go to work and feed those demons that I can't stand. And you, No. Your word is a prayer. And when you have that vehicle cleansed and it's like when your house is clean, you just feel so good. And everything is possible. You want to sing. You want to put on music. You want to express yourself. You want, your soul wants to just rejoice. That's what the baths and things are. So coconut, flowers, milk, essential oils, cloth, colors, all of the days of the week, all of that is connected to shifting the vibration from connecting to lack and going into third gear and know that whatever I want, I can get it. All I need is the scientific formula and how to vibrate with the universe. So when it comes, I'm home.
Wow. And I tell you, listeners, this show is going to be on archive. You can take notes. I practice what I preach as well. And when women contact me in sincerity and in transparency and say to me, Denise, I need some tips. What could I do? I tell them because I live what I say. And right now I have a lot of pomegranates around my house because the pomegranate is the fruit of this time of the year where it goes into the darkness, and in springtime it will be ready to be seeded and can be planted and it can regrow. I'm sorry, I'm tired. And, so I do that. I do wash my house out every new moon. Every full moon, I do open my pocketbook and my wallet up by my windowsill and let that moon just like just come into my wealth sector and open this up. And I do all the things, and I follow Yeye on Facebook. I follow her on YouTube. So when she has a great little pod or nugget that she throws up on social media to share with the world, I'm getting it. I don't know about you, but I'm getting it. So it's always really, really good. You know, like I tonight after this birth, I'm going to smudge my house. I'm going to take a shower and I'm going to bathe myself with white vinegar just to clean myself and just
say, okay, that was a very empowering birth, but that's not my energy. That belongs to someone else. And
right.
I'm going to move forward with what I'm doing. So there's things that I do. I also make baths. I use herbs and flowers and dry things, you know, based on what it is that I'm working on. And I do use, I do baths. I make baths myself. Everybody will tell you, I go down to the original Botanica in the Bronx. I go over to another dear friend of mine in the Westchester Botanica, and I see her. And, you know, I go to these Botanicas, and I pick up my supplies because, to me, that's part of my heritage. It's part of the earth rituals, and it's something that I really do enjoy. I take pride in knowing that that's part of who I am, that I have that culture. You know, we are always saying, blacks, you know, we gave up our culture when we came to this country. No, we still have it. We just have to get our asses out there and find it and embrace it instead of comparing it to what other cultures are doing.
I'm not afraid of stepping out and trusting that your spirit, that your intuition is going to guide you to the right place at the right time. One thing that I wanted to say also is make sure that people know that it's Yeye Fini. Because there are so many yeyes, because yeye means mama, and I know you're saying it from a place of love. But just go to yeyefini.com or yeyefini. If you Google yeyefini, there are hundreds of pages on yeyefini. You will find me, because I'm the only yeyefini one word. And so that's what, when you were talking about pomegranates, I know a money ritual for pomegranates. So everybody says this is pomegranate season. Let me give you this one. It works. Okay. So you get yourself 8 pomegranates and you give it to Obatala. You light a white candle and you say, this I am lighting for and infusing the energy known as Obatala, which Obatala is the energy of understanding that everything is interconnected and interdependent. That's what I know as Obatala. So anything that you know that you say, oh, my God, look at that. This is coincidence. No, that's literally no such thing. It is an orchestration of the universe conspiring to give you hallelujah. And so you're going to take a white candle. You get 8 pomegranates. You can put it up someplace high in honor of Obatala, or on a little table with a white candle and a glass of water, and you say, Obatala, I am giving you this, and I'm dedicating this to you so that I can understand that the things that I want in my life, may they be obviously connected to me, and may I recognize them. Because Obatala is the brain, is the intuition, is the gray matter, is the thing, is the convolutions in your brain that lets you know that everything that you think you are, you can make manifest. And so you give that to Obatala. And after 8 days or 16 days, depending on what you want, you take those babies and you boil them. And you make yourself a bath with that boiled pomegranate and you pour it over you and watch the money roll in. That's a money bath for Obatala. A lot of people may know it and some may not. All I know is this is one of those that I do. You know, and it was given to me by all Obatala priests that told me that. So I use it. Pomegranate seeds, all you do is just put this Obatala, put it in the pot, boil it, and that red juice, just pour it over you for abundance and money and state your truth. Money comes to me in abundance of 3 times 3. Creation, no harm is done. I open my life for riches to come, and so let it be. Ashe, ashe, ashe. You can repeat that prayer anytime you want money. Money, come to me in abundance of 3 times 3. Creation, no harm is done. I open my life for riches to come, and so let it be. And you do that with that. And I'm so glad you brought up the pomegranate. I'm going out and get me some pomegranates for this school.
I have them all over my house, but I don't have it dedicated to Obatala. But I can guarantee you I'm going to go get me some and just dedicate it just to him, because he is on my ancestor table. So I have to give him some love, too. So before we go,
so
I want to.
The thing with,
no, you go ahead.
With the full moon, with the fill them up. That was something that was given to me when I was like 24 years old.
And I've always done it, and it worked. And I was listening to a little battery radio, and this old lady said that this is what she did. And from that day, I have always shared it and opened it, and now it's just a universal thing of fill them up, fill them up, fill them up with your pocketbook up to the moon. So that with that, I wanted to say just yayafini.com. You can go on my site and fill out the membership, and I send out a newsletter once a month. And that's how you can keep – and on Blog Talk is Yayafini, Ask Yayafini Show. And if you are interested in a reading, consultation, anything, you can call me at 888-419-5848, 888-419-5848. And I'm on Blog Talk and also on my newsletter. So thank you again. And I just needed to say that.
Oh, yes. And Yeye is also on Facebook, too. So if you like her and follow her, she puts up her daily affirmations, and they are wonderful. So I get them. I love it. It's great. It is really great. So I just want to open up the caller queue one more time. Does anyone have any questions or comments before we wrap it up?
Can I say I do pues? Thank you, Yeye Finney. You are always magnificent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I say, I'm going to be calling you. Z-I-I Wolfalola.
Yes, how are you?
I'm great. I love hearing you. My skin tinkling, my ori tinkling.
I just finished this weekend. We had a wonderful thing that I didn't get a chance to share with you. It's mediumship training. Oh, my God.
I missed it.
Yes, yes. So definitely, yes. For those of you who see dead people or hear or intuit and want some training and how to make manifest your own guardian spirit and become possessed. That's one of the things that we do. Is a 7-month class that you will take once a month, and then you come to a 3-day retreat where at that time we do it. So I know you were taking the class at one time. So thank you for always supporting my work.
I love you. And I know, you know, that you're worldwide and that you are a true healer. And I give thanks to the universe for you. We need more queens doing it and doing it for their heart and for the love, Ashe.
Ashe. We're all doing it. We're all doing it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Cole. I really appreciate your feedback. Thank you so much. I just want to jump back in and just let everyone know that whatever you're guided to do, listen to that message and give yourself patience, give yourself time in order to evolve and do it in the right way. Do it with the right mindset. Do it with the right feeling in your heart. And also be ready for change, because change is going to happen to you once you take those steps towards this new journey. Be ready to let go of friends that you thought were friends. Be ready to let go of old habits and ways and things that you used to do, because you are going to go through an evolutionary process. That's always good and always wonderful. I just like to say, too, that I'm doing another show on Monday night, November 23rd, where Shafia Monroe from International Center for Traditional Childbirth. She'll be on the show 8:30 Monday night Eastern Standard Time. So if you'd like to join us for that show, that should be very powerful also. I'd like to wrap things up here now. As I said, I had a birth today. I had a lot of work to do. I still have to kind of cleanse myself and get myself ready for tomorrow, because I'm not taking any time off. I'm sticking with this momentum that I've been given. So I'm going right back to my CLC class tomorrow and finishing up the work that I've been so blessed to have. So if anyone has any other questions or comments before we wrap it up, then please bring them forward now. Anyone? Okay, I'm just going to give you a couple of tips and tricks that I'd like you to use to help build your business. And just so you know, Birthing While Black
will be doing a segment on Black business. I will be talking to you on how to build and cultivate and embrace your business and get better effects. So very simple. If you're looking for wealth and prosperity, put a crisp dollar bill under your business phone or tape it to the back of your cell phone under your cell phone case, and you'll get prosperity calls. Put a dollar bill behind your monthly calendar that's hanging up on your wall or on your desk so that money will gravitate. Money is attracted to money, so you have to think of things like that. Clean your house out. Keep your house as a temple. If there's negative energy that comes to visit in the form of a relative or a friend, when they leave, spray, smudge, do whatever you have to do to get it out when they leave. Don't let it stay. If you have dreams, try to write those dreams down in the dream journal, because those are messages. Those are wonderful communication venues that we often don't take advantage of. Every month, if you can, wash your house out. You can use some Florida water or some coconut water or some. If you make your own herbal wash for your house, you're more than welcome to do that, whatever you're guided to do. Just remember that what you're doing, do it with a clear heart. If you have any malevolence, if you have any revenge, if you have anything like that for anyone, let go of that, because that's negative energy that kind of sticks to you and it's very hard to get rid of. So if you're going to evolve, then please definitely be ready to let go of those type of behaviors and patterns. And we'll talk more, you know, on some spiritual, you know, tidbits or nuggets. But you can always reach me here on Facebook. I'm also here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm under Denise Bolt or Bold Doula. And I'm on DeniseBolt@gmail.com. I'd like to thank my wonderful, wonderful co-host, Yaye Finney, who's a dear friend of mine, a person whom I go to for spiritual guidance, a person who I trust, because I truly do witness the work that she does in the community, and she does it with a wonderful heart. She does it with all of her passion and compassion and transparency, and I really do applaud her for that. So, Yaye Finney, thank you so very much for coming on the show tonight. I'm very grateful for all that you do and all that you represent.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the air with you, and thank you so much for supporting my work and doing your priestess work as a doula. Ashe. Thank you.
Ashe, goddess Ashe. Thank you so much. Callers, I'm not going to do a roll call tonight because I'm going to leave you with spirit. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, please. Whenever you see Deepak and Oprah's free meditation series, please sign up for it and try it. Even if you meditate just 2 minutes a day, you will build and you will grow. Meditation is a wonderful connection to spirit. Give yourself the love, compassion, give yourself the time and energy that you give to your clients. Be willing to listen to yourself. Be willing to give yourself patience and comfort. Be willing to give yourself time to evolve. Be willing to give yourself a chance. Be willing to listen and be in tune to what's happening for you so that you can grow and evolve to exactly what the universe wants you to be. I'm always here for anyone who has any questions or concerns. I know a lot of resources that I could link you up with if possible, but please use Yaye Finney. Call her for a reading. Go to her webpage. She has a wonderful shop of so many resources and wonderful, wonderful, empowering support that can help you. So I thank everyone so very much for joining me on the show tonight. I'm Denise Bold. I'm also Bold Doula. I am also the host and producer of Black Motherhood Empowerment. This show, Birthing While Black, was really special tonight because as women of color, as Black women, to embrace our culture, to embrace our spiritual side is something that is very, very intrinsic and very necessary as to who we are as Black women. And I strongly urge you to do that in your own unique way. Please do so. Do we have someone who wants to say something? Is someone trying to come through? No? Okay. Well, thank you all so very, very much. Remember, this show is archived. You can listen to it for free 24/7. And I will see you all next week. So So have a great weekend. Have the great rest of the week. And be ready to evolve. Get ready and listen to the show again and take notes and start your journey. Start your journey on your path and watch what happens for you. I wish you all the very best, and I hope to see you in the universe. Take care. Bye-bye.